China's next DeepSeek moment, it won't be another AI model.
The United States doesn't want to participate in China. Huawei's got China covered, and Huawei's got everybody else covered.
Instead, it's their AI hardware that's catching up, and that may matter more.
Some of these new Chinese models are really, like, surprising everyone as well. Further ahead, much lower cost, trained without the super expensive chips.
They're nanoseconds behind us.
Nanoseconds.
Yeah, they're nanoseconds behind us.
New and relatively unknown chip makers are raising billions and gaining adoption.
China's IPO market seeing a revival driven by some new AI names.
There's an ecosystem there that is now betting on domestic Chinese chip firms such as Huawei, More Threads, Cambricon.
A leg up over the US on energy and scaling compute fast.
China power generation is like, looks like a rocket going to orbit.
Forcing both Washington and the chip industry to confront a new reality.
From the president's perspective is that the technology, the American technology stack, he wants the developers in China to also be using the American technology stack.
I'm Deirdre Bosa with The Take. 1 year after DeepSeek upended the AI landscape, China is running the playbook again. China has a major handicap in the global AI race. Limited access to the most advanced AI chips, thanks to US restrictions, that has forced AI labs like DeepSeek to find workarounds or delay progress.
I think if they had more resources, they had sort of free availability to NVIDIA chips, it would have been different. Better model, faster. Well, they came out with their latest one probably 6 months later than they could have, is my guess.
But that is changing quickly as giants Huawei and Cambricon, as they ramp up their chip efforts and a wave of Chinese upstarts prepares to propel the country's AI efforts forward.
I was actually speaking to two bankers in Singapore this morning. They say expect a wave of Chinese IPOs in 2026.
They've been dubbed the Four Dragons, a quartet of chip firms whose sole purpose is to beef up China's domestic hardware and reduce reliance on the US. Already, all four of them are eyeing or have clenched big capital infusions.
China's first ever domestic GPU maker, More Threads, is readying a public debut in Shanghai.
More Threads the first, hailed as China's little NVIDIA and founded by a former NVIDIA executive, jumping 400% after debuting on the Shanghai Exchange. Two more hatchlings, MetaX and Byron, following shortly after, both also seeing just massive investor demand. And the final, Tencent-backed Enflame, it has filed to go public and is reportedly expected to be valued at about $3 billion. Four dragons, four bets, four shots at building a homegrown NVIDIA-style system. And those are just the new challengers. Huawei and Cambricon, they're two established firms with their sights set on overtaking NVIDIA for some time. Huawei has been a Chinese tech champion for years. It built up a global telecoms business, took real share from Apple within China, and rose to the top tier of China's cloud market in just a few years. Now it is trying to do the same with chips, outlining a three-year master plan to surpass NVIDIA.
Is it the same level as NVIDIA? No, but it's pretty close, and it's getting better every generation. And so I think they're ramping their ability to produce chips and their ability to have each chip be at almost similar performance now to NVIDIA chips.
Already, the Chinese startup Jipu AI has announced an image generation model built entirely on Huawei's chips. And meanwhile, Cambricon, it's planning to triple its chip output, 500,000 AI accelerators this year to substitute NVIDIA's. And finally, there are the conglomerates, Alibaba and Baidu, both with their own versions of AI chip bets.
Baidu this morning announcing plans to list its AI chip unit, Kunluxin, as intrigue continues to grow around China's ecosystem and its ability to become more self-reliant.
So where did this sudden onslaught of chip startups and ramp-ups come from? Well, Beijing itself, with a strategy to all but mandate success. By one, propping up the supply side. As of December, the CCP is reportedly preparing $70 billion in incentives, effectively bankrolling the industry on top of an existing $50 billion fund. And two, it's creating demand because it can, telling its own tech giants like Alibaba to stop using NVIDIA chips and banning foreign ones from state-funded data centers.
If you just open the border completely and allow the chips to flow, I don't think those companies would have as much of a market share as they do.
Even as the US greenlights NVIDIA H200 sales to China, government officials, they may just tell customs agents to not let them in.
The reason China doesn't want them is because they want to indigenize chip production. They want to have their own chip industry, and specifically they want Huawei to be the national champion.
But the real problem for NVIDIA and American chipmakers may no longer be restrictions on the Chinese side. It's that the Chinese chip industry has moved on. For years under export controls, China's AI labs, they were forced to get creative, do more with less.
Here we didn't really look at chips as a constrained variable in some ways. I mean, you know, of course they cost money and all of that, but you could always kind of get them. In China, I don't think that was true. So I think that forced the DeepSeek folks to think very creatively and write a lot of low-level optimized software to make it happen.
DeepSeek was a wake-up call. It invented new ways of training and running AI models that were significantly more efficient. At first, labs had to make do with smuggled American chips, but increasingly they're doing it on different, cheaper Chinese architecture altogether. And here in America, AI leaders are taking notice.
Chinese models are really far ahead. So that is DeepSeek 4, and some of these new Chinese models are really, like, surprising everyone as well.
Further ahead,
much lower cost, trained without the super expensive chips. And this is a very powerful thing that, you know, the U.S. and AI remain in this tremendous AI war, large language model war.
Now, many wanted to call DeepSeek a fluke. Instead, it may have been the first warning that chip limits don't stop progress. They just changed the strategy. Data from Microsoft shows DeepSeek gaining adoption around the world and quickly.
DeepSeek really changed the game a year ago. Right now, there are more Chinese open source models being used, not surprisingly in China and Russia and Iran, but also increasingly across Africa.
Gaining nearly 90% market share in China and popularity in countries like Russia, Cuba, Belarus, and across Africa. Even Europe is buying in.
When DeepSeek models came out and the Kimi models and others, those are the predominant models in the world. I mean, the US, maybe not because there's a bias to not use them, but if you look at the rest of the world, like in Europe, everyone's using the Chinese models. So I think there absolutely is an appetite for the cheaper, you know, sort of Prius level model versus the Ferrari out there, for sure.
It's exactly what the US has been afraid of, a full Chinese AI stack from models to software to chips going global faster than it can be stopped. That's why Washington is now trying to get older generations of NVIDIA chips into China. And DeepSeek was only the beginning. The top ranking open source models, they're all Chinese, and increasingly they're being built on Chinese chips. Now, there's another strategy China's deploying, brute force. It's the idea that if you can't get the best chips, you use more of everything else, more power, more machines, more engineers. Aaron Jin, founder of the AI data center services startup HydraHost, he calls it a Costco, or a wholesale strategy.
You don't go there to get the very best of the very best. You know, you're generally like one generation behind or two generation behind, like what they sell in the technology aisle of Costco. We have to understand that, like, what Huawei is trying to do and what China is trying to do is it knows it doesn't have the core technology, the lithography, the semiconductor manufacturing to build the latest and greatest.
Put another way, even though Huawei chips, they may be several generations behind, they're cheaper and they're available in bulk. So Chinese labs, they're stacking thousands of them together using quantity to brute force the quality they can't import. That leads to major inefficiencies, but it works because China has the energy to back it up.
If you could just imagine, without President Trump's pro-energy policy, that entire layer above the energy would have been constrained. China's well ahead of us on energy.
Power is one of the biggest bottlenecks in the AI race for both the US and China.
It's clear that we're very soon, maybe even later this year, we'll be producing more chips than we can turn on, except for China. China's growth in electricity is tremendous.
Power is one of the biggest bottlenecks in the AI race for both the US and for China. But China has an edge. It can build new power faster and at scale with central planning than simply direct that where it wants. In fact, China is bringing all different forms of energy online, from coal to hydro to nuclear to renewables, at a far faster pace than the US. American output, meanwhile, it's flattened.
China is very effective at launching power. You know, they're basically ahead of us by 2 to 3x. On the amount of power that they have, that they're building.
That gap is only going to widen.
What they can do is centrally plan. That's something that's much more difficult in the West. So they could basically say, okay, we are going to go and win this, and we're gonna, you know, cut down energy usage in other factories for AI. So they can actually potentially redirect much more.
In the US, meanwhile, the data center build-out is facing more and more pushback.
Everybody out there is saying, you build a data center in my backyard, my electric bill goes up. I don't want you here.
people do have questions. They're pointed questions. What does this mean for our electricity price? What does it mean for our water supply?
Washington has started to wake up to this divergence and is shifting its strategy. Instead of cutting China off completely, it's allowing down-tier NVIDIA chips like H200s into the market.
If we can sell a previous generation deprecated chip into the Chinese market and take market share away from Huawei and prevent their scale up, we think there's some value in that.
So no longer trying to stop China, but slow it. The risk is that it may be too late. There's a third piece to China's strategy, a more subtle one. Between open source models and increasingly capable chips, China's exporting the full AI stack. Aaron Jin describes this as a kind of Trojan horse. Instead of selling raw compute, Huawei and its partners are selling a turnkey system that's supposed to just work on the ground.
The go-to-market motion of like Huawei is very different than like what NVIDIA is doing. They are trying to incorporate model, service, and chip into like a single deployment. And so like not only are you getting a relatively subpar chip at scale, more equivalent, but like individually subpar compared to Western chips, but you're getting a model. You're getting all the corpus of open source model that is much more robust than in America. And you get talent, which again is much more robust than we have in America. So their go-to-market strategies give them props where props is due. You know, if you're gonna effectively defeat an enemy, you have to understand their strengths. And they are very good at like figuring out how to like get their equipment out into the world.
And that's where this starts to look familiar. Just like Huawei's telecom gear a decade ago, this is about getting infrastructure into countries that want AI but don't have the budget, talent, or power constraints of the US.
They got a mind share in the world, right? It's like the Chinese models are the best and they're gonna continue to be the best. And everyone kind of thinks that now.
It's Belt and Road, updated for AI, exporting infrastructure, financed and installed abroad to lock in long-term dependence. The US still leads at the frontier, but China's playing a different game. The risk isn't that China wins at the cutting edge. It's that over time, it proliferates everywhere else. To understand where this race could go next, you have to look beyond GPUs. That's where Naveen Rao comes in. He has spent the last decade building AI from the hardware up, and now he's questioning whether the current architecture is even the right one at all. His new startup, Unconventional AI, it rethinks the very foundations of computing itself as a single integrated system, starting from the needs of intelligence. Naveen Rao, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Absolutely.
You have quite the last few years. Sold your company to Databricks. Yep. How long were you at Databricks?
Just over 2 years.
And now?
Started Unconventional AI, yeah. We're rethinking the foundations of how you really build a computer, but really rethinking it from the perspective of what makes an AI system work. And the fundamental problem is really that we're going to run out of energy at the global level. And so we really need to consume energy more efficiently for AI. That's really what's driving this big compute demand boom that we're going to talk about today.
Right, and that leads us into sort of what the big topic today is, trying to understand how China is competing on the hardware front. There's been lots of little headlines over the last few years, some bigger headlines recently. You've got hardware companies going public, sort of this IPO frenzy in China.
Yeah.
You hear that they're getting closer to competing on compute, even with advanced chips still behind.
Right.
Where do you think we are right now?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Huawei, they've been at this for a while, and they have their Ascend line of chips, which is kind of the high-end data center chips. And, you know, it's interesting because I think they were, you could call them very far behind 5 years ago, but that was actually when they were still running on top of TSMC. And now, you know, there's been an ecosystem effort within China for the last 25 years or so to actually do semiconductor manufacturing as well. So they've actually shifted over because of sanctions and things like that to SMIC or SMIC. That's the Chinese fab. And their performance isn't bad. Is it the same level as NVIDIA? No, but it's pretty close and it's getting better every generation. And so I think they're ramping their ability to produce chips and their ability to have each chip be at almost similar performance now to NVIDIA chips.
How far away are we from them competing with us
with
our advanced chips?
So just kind of frame it a little bit. NVIDIA has been growing their chip making capabilities. And that's not, when I say chip making, I mean not just the actual die, but the packaging of them, the whole delivery of it.
The whole ecosystem, that includes CUDA and everything else.
Yeah, but I mean, even the physical side of it required a lot of retooling. I mean, doing the packaging of these chips is not simple. We literally didn't have enough jigs in the world to package them. So We could only make, say, a million and a half chips a few years ago. Now NVIDIA is going to make on the order of 4 million chips in a year, which was very hard. So it's been doubling every, year or so, something like that for the last several years. So NVIDIA is probably going to make 4, maybe even 5 million chips this year on the data center side. And Huawei is going to make maybe 200,000, something on that order. So we're still not quite there yet. And it's because they don't have the whole ecosystem. I mean, the semiconductor fabs aren't there. The packaging is not there. And just the performance and just quality delivery isn't quite there yet. But it's coming fast.
You said something interesting. I had thought that Huawei was trying to build through TSMC. It's kind of like the only game in town. But I didn't realize that SMIC, SMIC, I didn't realize it was called that too, was really competing on the foundry level.
Oh, yeah. I think the last several generations, maybe the last 2 or 3 generations of Huawei chips are built on SMIC. Again, there's some crazy stuff that happens where they like sneak wafers into TSMC, even though there's like there are sanctions. So I don't know if that's really true, but that's what the headline is, that they're actually built on SMIC. So SMIC, just to put it in terms of where they are in transistor technology. So if you look at TSMC, they have, they call them by nanometers, right? So the smaller the number of nanometers, generally the faster or more efficient the process is. So the latest NVIDIA chips are built on either 2 or 3 or 4 nanometer, somewhere in there. And the last round, the H100s, were built on, I think, 5 nanometer. So SMIC is now up to 5 nanometer, which was, I don't know, 4 years old from TSMC. So the gap is closed now. And when I say up to, I mean, they're not using the same kind of capability. So 5 nanometer and TSMC use what's called EUV, or extreme ultraviolet. That allows you to build smaller devices and make it a simpler process. In China, they're sort of brute forcing it, it seems like. Instead of using EUV, which they don't have access to because of trade sanctions.
ASML,
yeah. I don't know how far we want to go into that, but the whole ASML thing, they cannot deliver to China. So China said, okay, we're just going to brute force it, which is called multi-patterning. So basically you take higher wavelengths of light and you apply a mask multiple times. You can imagine this increases the complexity, decreases the yield, increases the cost, but they're brute forcing their way through it. So they are getting to 5 nanometer performance and even reasonable yields now with that approach.
I feel like brute force could describe their whole strategy,
yeah.
Right? Like the idea of stringing together, you know, thousands of Huawei chips.
Yes.
Could you explain that, how that's like different than what we do over here in the US and how like we look at efficiency?
Yeah, I mean, we do string together a bunch of chips, let's be honest. And I think here we didn't really look at chips as a constrained variable in some ways. I mean, you know, of course they cost money and all of that, but you could always kind of get them. In China, I don't think that was true. So I think that forced the DeepSeek folks to think very creatively and write a lot of low-level optimized software to make it happen. And so, you know, famously they came out and theirs was very cheap to train and all of that. So it forced them into this place where they had to be efficient because they only had so many chips available to them. And I think that's translated into, okay, well, can I use that same strategy with the Huawei chips that I have access to? Because those may be considered a little bit more plentiful or at least from the government perspective, like a little more palatable to use. The reality is on the ground, China still wants to use NVIDIA chips because, I don't know, the numbers I could find are maybe not that reliable, but something on the order of, let's call it 200,000 from inside China and maybe a million and a half from NVIDIA. So it's still mostly NVIDIA.
Just because they can produce more? I thought NVIDIA chips were super scarce also.
Well, they are, but there was all kinds of stockpiling that happened. And I mean, again, all these are rumors. It's very hard to find real data here because I think there was definitely some either legal or illegal sequestration of wafers. And then they were just sitting in China. And maybe they got packaged there. I don't know. It's very hard to see what the truth is, right?
Right, absolutely. And that was one of the complaints with the DeepSeek piece.
Yes.
What they were able to achieve was that we didn't exactly know sort of where all that compute came from.
It's hard to get the receipts really precisely.
You know? There you go. You mentioned Huawei. What about some of the other sort of younger chip companies like More Threads, MetaX, Byron? I think they're called the Four Dragons in China. But these kind of up and coming, More Threads, I've heard, has been called China's answer to NVIDIA. Is that an overstatement?
I think Huawei's more the answer to NVIDIA from the perspective of their focus on the training and the inference side. NVIDIA's traditionally been on the training side. I mean, of course, inference is the big scale opportunity and they're going after it now. But I think all of these chips have been much more on the inference side. So they see inference as a huge problem now to scale out, especially with the energy constraints they have. I mean, you know, we've talked about this in many different articles out there about how China's building more energy infrastructure and all of this. The reality is, on a per capita basis, they're nowhere close to us. So they're building much faster than us and scaling faster, but they're still not on a per capita basis at our level. So inference power is a big problem for them.
China's energy constrained?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. That's not really the narrative that I hear that much. I see sort of, I guess you're right, on an absolute basis, but they have so many more people.
That's right. I think they crossed our energy production like 2023 timeframe on an absolute level.
Right.
But there are four times as many people. So.
Right. So that leads me to believe that sort of they do have a long way to go in terms of efficiency. Yeah. And that sort of brute force is not that much of an advantage.
It's not. And I think energy is going to be their big constraint. Now, what they can do is centrally plan. That's something that's much more difficult in the West. So they could basically say, okay, we are going to go and win this, and we're going to, you know, cut down energy usage in other factories for AI. So they can actually potentially redirect much more. Just to kind of give you some numbers on it, the US has about 50% of the world's data center capacity, and we put about 4% of our energy grid into it. So if they said, okay, well, we're going to put 8% of our energy grid into it, they have almost 2x the amount of energy going into their AI compute than we do.
Is that what they're doing now? Is that how they're able to get away with that, like brute force, and string together less energy efficient chips like the ones from Huawei?
Potentially, yes. I don't know with certainty, but yeah, I think that's likely what's happening, is this central planning.
What about the idea of talent too, in American versus Chinese talent in AI, and how that sort of changes the race?
Yeah, honestly, the talent in China is exceptionally good. I mean, you can imagine it's just four times as many people as we have in the US. So when I was there in even 2017, 2018, like as part of Intel, I had customers in China, and I met with the talent there. Some of the people were just off the charts, and they were super hungry. And that was then. And I think now it's only gotten more. So I think the talent there is actually very good. I mean, some of the best talent we have here is from China and Chinese universities, right? So many times people do their PhDs here or something like that. But yeah, I think I don't think they have a scarcity of talent like people like to think.
And there's a lot of government support too.
A ton of government support. And they get, their researchers are being paid very well, you know, and it's a very prestigious thing to do.
So you were at Intel.
Yeah.
How does Intel's sort of ambitions in Foundry compare to where SMIC is at right now?
I think it's very different from the perspective of Intel is a leading edge fab. I mean, they have their problems in terms of making those leading edge capabilities available to a customer, meaning that Intel builds leading edge devices for their chips, for their processors. But to have a new chip come on there, like an NVIDIA chip or Qualcomm chip or something, onto an Intel fab is very hard.
Isn't that what they're trying to do?
They are trying to do that, yeah. But that process of making their fab a product is not simple.
Right, of course not. But there's rumors that, you know, they're getting closer to signing 14A customers.
That's right.
Where is that in relation to SMIC?
Well, I think they have two different problems. So Intel's problem is, can I make 14A a customer product? And SMIC's problem is, can I get onto the leading edge? Right, they're not on the leading edge.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
So they can't create GPUs, is that right?
Not at the same small device size, like the 2 nanometer or 3 nanometer sizes. Yeah, not yet.
Do you think that, similar to the way that, you know, I think the West kind of underestimated Chinese model prowess when DeepSeek hit, it kind of took everyone by surprise. Do you think there's a similar dynamic developing in hardware?
I do, honestly. So on the pure semiconductor manufacturing side, the fact that SMIC can make it work at 5 nanometer-ish technology without EUV is actually pretty good. Like, I think we should be a bit scared about that, because we could do it, but it was not economically feasible. They're making it work. I don't know if it's economically feasible or not, but I think that's something to look out for. Then on the ecosystem side, they have a huge internal market. They're 1.4 billion people. So they can test stuff, and they will build solutions. And now they're kind of building their own ecosystem around it. So yes, 100% we should be scared about it. This is why Jensen, I think, wanted to make sure we could be in China, because at least if they're buying chips from us, that, you know, provides this, I don't know, direct comparison. But if they aren't, then it creates an environment where they just go and develop completely in a siloed fashion.
Do you think Washington is doing enough?
I think Washington is trying. I've had discussions with folks there on this topic, and, you know, I think it's easy to use sanctions to have short-term gains and short-term slowdowns. I think it did work with the DeepSeek folks. Is that a long-term play?
Did it work with the DeepSeek folks in that they could have done more?
Probably. I think so. I think if they had more resources, had they had sort of free availability to NVIDIA chips, it would have been different.
Better model.
Better model, faster.
And they already had a great model.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they came out with their latest one probably 6 months later than they could have, is my guess.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
What are you expecting for their next one? Rumor has it that it might be in February.
Yeah, I mean, I think what would be the scariest thing, and I don't know if this is true or not. It's very hard, again, to say what's true and what's not. If they built their latest, greatest stuff, and it's better than anything that we see here, like let's say it leads all the leaderboards for some amount of time, and it's built only on Chinese chips, that's not a good thing.
Isn't that what happened a year ago?
Maybe. It's not clear to me. I think maybe it did happen. That's what the headline they want you to read is, but I think there was actually access to a lot of NVIDIA chips, and they likely did it on NVIDIA.
Got it. Well, now H200s are allowed into China. So
right.
What does that mean? Is it Chinese model builders off to the races?
I guess so, but you know, we have the B200s and B300s. So, you know, if you look at it from a dollars in and, you know, research out perspective, we should be 2x more efficient, something like that.
So still keep the edge.
Still keep the edge. But I think it does actually make us have to ask a question about, are we focused on the right things? Because they're constrained, they were focused on efficiency and building fast iterative cycles with less. And here we weren't. Maybe there's something to be learned from that.
We are spending like trillions potentially in CapEx.
Yeah.
And I think I saw a comparison to how much China's spending on their AI infrastructure.
Yeah.
It is far, far less.
Right.
How do I square that? I've asked a bunch of people this and I haven't really got like a good answer. How can we be spending so much on that build out and they're spending so much less, at least if you believe these numbers, and yet their models are competitive with ours?
Well, I think there is a big difference between being the first one and then being the fast follower. The fast follower is always more efficient. I mean, many companies use that as a strategy. It's like, let the startups do the pathfinding and then we follow on what works. So I think China's done that to a large degree. And they have taken the paradigms that, you know, were built in the West and then scaled them up and made them good and all that kind of stuff. And they've done exceptionally well at it. So I'm not trying to take away from that, but coming with the first thing is actually takes a lot of compute sometimes.
Why does it matter to be first? I mean, look at our most valuable company. One of our most valuable companies is Apple, and they're famously a second mover.
Absolutely.
And I mean, there is, you know, Netscape and Ask Jeeves and all these things before we had Google. What's the advantage of the West making the first best models?
It's a great question. And I mean, you hope that being the first one allows you to have some kind of insurmountable moat. I think in model building, it's not really true because the secrets around how you make a great model get leaked. Researchers talk to each other. And it's very hard to produce a moat. Whereas with semiconductors, it really was. You know, it was very hard for anyone to replicate leading edge fabs. And that's why TSMC and Intel and Samsung have big moats. But in this case, it's very hard. And so I think all we can hope for is that we have a lead in time to where we can start to get our industries to be more effective and move faster than some of the Chinese industries.
What about AI adoption globally? And I relate that to not just DeepSeek. I think I saw a study from Microsoft showing adoption globally. I mean, sure, you have the US, but maybe this is like the market that buys Ferraris. What if the rest of the world wants to buy Priuses and they're okay with something that is good enough? Not the best, but something that is more economical, easier, and open source, I mean, is a key part of it too. And then relate that to hardware too.
Yeah, I mean, I think the market proved that already. And when DeepSeek models came out and the Kimi models and others, those are the predominant models in the world. I mean, in the US, maybe not because there's a bias to not use them. But if you look at the rest of the world, like in Europe, everyone's using the Chinese models. So I think there absolutely is an appetite for the cheaper, you know, sort of Prius level model versus the Ferrari out there, for sure.
Does that hold with chips too?
To some degree. I think what's interesting with chips is cheaper chips aren't necessarily better from a total cost of ownership perspective. If I look at like, okay, it's cheaper CapEx, but it's less efficient and I need more of them to do the same thing. So if I actually do the math on, you know, dollars per token, it ends up being worse. So actually, the more expensive chips tend to be more efficient for some of these problems. So I don't think it works that way in hardware generally, at least not yet.
Do you think China's looking to that strategy? You know, like someone, I was talking to someone who said that the whole strategy behind China open sourcing a lot of its models is actually kind of a vehicle they work best on Huawei chips. Is there truth to that? Do they go hand in hand?
As of now, no, that there's not truth to it. They work fine on NVIDIA chips. You can run them on anything. Maybe that'll be in the future. I think the smart move they made is that it basically, they got a mind share in the world, right? It's like the Chinese models are the best and they're going to continue to be the best. And everyone kind of thinks that now.
Outside of the U.S.
Outside the U.S.
You never hear that here, though.
You don't, but it's the reality, right? The DeepSeek models are very, very good and they're open source. And so I think the rest of the world does start to use them quite a lot, or has been using them quite a lot. And I think it was a very smart move by China to do that.
So you're telling me if I go to sort of European companies and I ask them, what models are you predominantly using? It would be Chinese models?
For sure.
No one seems to say that here.
Yeah, I know. It's just, there's just data. I mean, I don't have the data at my fingertips right now, but we can go and produce it.
Right,
for you.
And is it the idea that you have to, I mean, I had someone tell me, I was pushing someone on this and saying, you know, but they're cheaper, they're good enough. You don't need the best coding model to run your ad business or CRM business.
Right.
They say, yeah, but our engineers just want the latest ChatGPT or Gemini.
I think for coding models, maybe it's a bit different because you have, I don't know, sort of a very discerning user in that case because they're all programmers. But people who are doing things for business, I mean, the Chinese models are usually sufficient for that. So I think it depends on the use case, of course. In certain use cases, demand maybe the best ones. But for sure, like the smaller, simpler use case, like summarize these documents in bulk, Chinese models are great for that.
What would a DeepSeek hardware moment look like?
I mean, I think if China came out with hardware that was vastly cheaper to buy and operate and gave you 90% of the performance, it would have to be something like this. And you know, you see this with cars. The same thing is happening right now with electric cars, right? I mean, they're basically giving you a Tesla's quality and capability for half the price. That's the moment. They have to get there. I think in semiconductors, they're not there. They're going to need some more time.
And it's a whole ecosystem, right? It's not just the hardware, but you often hear that NVIDIA's biggest moat is CUDA. Does that make it more difficult for the Chinese to catch up?
No, I don't think so. I think they're building their own ecosystem now around their architectures. And it really comes down to, can they achieve the same economics that Taiwan and Korea have achieved, you know, along with the West?
So what you're doing personally is you're actually rethinking the whole stack, right?
That's right, yeah.
And is China doing that also?
They are. So we're sort of rethinking the foundations of how you actually build the right abstractions inside of a computer for AI. And so we call this broadly unconventional computing techniques. That's where the name of the company came from. A lot of papers that we have seen from academia are from China. So I think this idea of, can I do more with less, is happening at the hardware level too. They are very much looking into this. I'm sure it's state funded. There's a lot of research papers around how can I build novel devices that are way more energy efficient, which totally makes sense if you think about where their energy demands are right now and where their production is. If I can do something that's 10 times or 100 times more efficient, I have a huge win locally. That local win in China could be a global win.
You only started your company a few months ago.
That's right.
Are the mega caps, the big chip makers here, are they looking at this as well?
They are. They're starting to dabble in it. I think quantum was kind of the first thing that a lot of people did, and there's a lot of investment that's going into that. It actually solves a similar problem, actually a related problem in some ways. I think, you know, you look at the mega caps like Facebook, not so much, or Meta, not so much, but Google is looking at all different things. They have investigated analog and other kinds of techniques several times. Microsoft is looking into things like this. Amazon, maybe not yet. But you know, you are going to see more and more of this coming as we go forward, because the energy demands are too high, and the ability to make the economics favorable to scale isn't there. We need to solve the energy problem.
And unconventional compute—that's what we call it, right?
Yeah.
At what level is that happening in China? At the big tech level, smaller startup level? Is it government supported?
The papers are from academia primarily, from the top universities there. I don't think there are papers probably coming out of the semiconductor industry. They generally don't publish. So my guess is those are funded based upon like, hey, is this a potential solution to our problems? And states funding them, that technology is very likely going back to SMIC and Huawei and others, or at least creating an ecosystem of people they can hire and build out this stuff. So I would not be at all surprised if there is an effort around unconventional computing in China.
Is that where the next race is in terms of computing?
I think so, yeah. I mean, that's the problem. It's like you can talk about all the innovation you want on the algorithmic side, but like the reality is you have to build a server, you have to power that server in order to get the value. And right now the economics just aren't that great. And digital kind of has limitations, right? We can only build so much more efficiency in the current paradigm when I have numbers, numeric digital computation, because Moore's law is largely stopped. We're not getting more power efficient. And all we're doing is jamming more energy into a smaller space, which doesn't actually solve the efficiency problem. So yes, we're gonna have to think differently.
I just wanna go back to the energy conversation we were having.
Yeah.
So China doesn't have an energy advantage, you don't think?
Not on a per capita basis, yeah, not yet anyway.
Does that matter in the AI race?
I think so, yeah. I mean, if you think about everybody kind of having homogenous usage, let's say everybody uses, you know, 5 AI bots per hour at some point in the future, basically you end up scaling per person. It's like an energy per person, right? So the hardware is kind of fixed, the algorithm is fixed, and it becomes like energy input and then tokens output per person. So if you're scaling per person, per capita energy usage becomes the metric that matters.
Right. Okay. So that's really like something that I think the market is misreading then.
Yes. But I think what the market is pricing in is the trend. Because the problem is U.S. energy buildouts have been almost flat. It's been very yes. little increase. Whereas China has been outpacing the U.S. by like 8x over the last 20 years. Again, they only crossed the total energy production of the U.S. in 2023. And per capita is still pretty far away. But if you look at the trend, you got one doing this and you got one doing this.
Straight line up.
Right? Yeah, so that's what's worrisome. I don't know what the projection is of when they'll cross on a per capita basis, but it's probably less than 10 years.
Like you said, there's central planning too, which helps them. And we've seen how that goes here. It's a lot tougher to get through.
That's right. Here, when customers in the Southwest complain about brownouts, the companies take it seriously. In China, they're like, well, just tough. You know, that's what you're gonna have to deal with. So we can't do those sorts of, macro level optimizations.
Right. How does that set us then? Do you think that will change? Do you see Washington is able to have a unified strategy towards AI?
I mean, I think they're trying. I think there's some good people in place to try to do this, but it's also very hard. We don't do that typically. And I mean, maybe that will change. Now, the government owns 10% or something, or $10 billion of Intel. Mm-hmm. That's a little unprecedented to me. So maybe we, it's almost like adopting the Chinese model.
Is that a bad thing?
I don't know. I mean, what is good and bad here, right?
Yeah, I mean, is that beneficial for the AI race? You see what China's been able to do with the government backing, but I also worry about the flip side of that, right? We talked about this a little earlier, but the restrictions on NVIDIA chips forced a lot of the companies and labs in China to use the domestic versions. You've seen these huge IPOs. Is that artificial demand?
I think it's somewhat artificial. If you just open the border completely and allow the chips to flow, I don't think those companies would have as much of a market share as they do.
Would that crash them?
Probably. And that's not really happening anyway. So even though we get H200s and aren't getting the new stuff, right? But I do think this does go to a bigger question. And, you know, what are we really good at in the West? I think individualism is a very important trait in the West. And what that leads to is this kind of leading edge, bleeding edge innovation. We think about new things, we allow people to come up with a new idea, and there's a whole ecosystem of funding and all of that in this part of the world that allows those ideas to come to fruition. I think if we move everybody to more of this homogenous state-based model, I think that goes away a bit. So personally, I don't want to see that happen because I think we lead the world many times in innovation.
You don't want the government to pick the winners.
I don't want the government to pick the winners. Because you're never, almost by definition, you're never going to have the best winner picker in the government, right?
And that could hurt, I mean, as a startup, right? If you're just picking the biggest companies.
It becomes about cronyism then, right? Then it's like who you know.
right.
It's like getting a defense contract, right? It's about the ecosystem of the people you know.
Right, competition. Yeah. Okay, maybe lastly, when can we expect to hear more about your new venture? Are you guys raising money?
I mean, a lot of people are trying to give us more money, so we will probably do some more. But I think the more exciting things are when are we going to have some readouts of our research. And Over the next several months, actually, we're going to start publishing some work on this and showing how you can start to use the intrinsic physics and dynamics of semiconductors to make something vastly more efficient. We're going to start publishing some models that the community can play with, and maybe some results towards the end of the year.
Okay, great. Well, keep us posted on that. We'd love to see it. And Naveen, thank you so much for sitting down with us.
Yeah, great talking with you.
Cool.